Computer, yes. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this second edition of Meet the Press Slam on the Social Suplex Podcast Network. I am your host, Danny Kugler, and I'm joined by a friend of mine from a music server, Honor Rock. His name's really hard to say in Icelandic because he's from Iceland. And actually, he's the casual fan everybody's looking for. So on Twitter that everyone's looking for. So I had to make that joke because everyone on Twitter is arguing on what the casual fan is.
I gotcha.
And you told me you were a casual fan. So I had to on Discord. So I was like, oh, Anorak's the casual fan.
Yeah.
How are you doing, Anorak?
I'm doing very good. Thank you for having me.
Yes, yes. I know Anorak from various music servers, actually. So he's our resident Limp Bizkit stan. So
lots of
Limp
Bizkit
discussion today. Because
which actually funny that you mentioned that since we're talking about wrestling. I was actually introduced to them through, I believe, that Roland was the Undertaker's theme for a while, yeah.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. So perfect segue. How did you
get exactly, into
wrestling?
Yeah.
How old are you, first off?
I am 20. I recently turned 20 on April 12th, earlier this month.
So, yeah. Happy birthday, Anorak.
Thank you. And I got into wrestling proper in 2014 when I was about 12 or so.
Wow. You're making me feel old. I'm 26.
I got
and
you.
I got into wrestling in 2005. When I was 8. So
yeah.
I got into it when I was a little younger and a little more beady-eyed.
Yeah, I see.
So, who do you remember who you first saw? Or?
I remember specifically I got into wrestling because, it's a bit of a weird story, but I was a big video game player at the time, and I really wanted to get a copy of WWE 2K14 because, I saw the community creations and shit and, just all the insanity that was going on there. And I just I have to fucking try this.
Yeah.
And
games are always fun in WWE games because.
Yeah, absolutely. And I later actually got, and then I checked out the 30 years of WrestleMania mode in that game. And I just went, yeah, this actually might, the sound looks kind of cool. I might need to check this thing out. And I remember just going down a bit of a rabbit hole from there. And I became obsessed pretty quickly. Yeah.
I think everyone gets obsessed with wrestling and the history of wrestling very quickly.
Yeah, exactly.
Once you become obsessed with wrestling, because I think it's a prerequisite to know the history of wrestling
quickly
once you become obsessed with wrestling, because wrestling fans are like, oh, you have to know this. Oh, you have to know this. Oh,
yeah,
yeah,
that is
very
definitely true. Yeah.
History in a way, but not at the same time.
Yeah,
but I'm like this hardcore fan where I'm like, where I followed a lot of careers and I followed a lot of different guys from the independent scene and stuff like that because of where I live too, because Philadelphia, as you know, is like the center of the independent scene.
Of course, yeah, of course.
Because you're wearing the ECW shirt, started off with. Philadelphia and then the early Ring of Honor days and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it sort of boiled over there.
Yeah.
So more of your experience though.
I'm sorry. With what exactly?
With wrestling.
Oh yeah. Right. I remember the first, fucking, guy I was, very, a huge fan of was, I believe it was The Rock,
And because he's the actor.
Of course, yeah, of course. I became a huge fan of his of his 90s work and the stuff he did in the Attitude Era and stuff like
that. Oh wow. Yeah, because going back and watching that stuff, I think that's I think 1997 is a really interesting year in WWE.
It is, definitely, yeah.
I think 1997 is the most interesting year of the 90s in WWE.
Yeah, definitely.
Even more interesting than 1998, 1999. The main event stuff is very good, but the undercard stuff is bad.
Yeah.
But it's like, I'm because Vince Russo was writing it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But I'm like, you know, I feel as if we get obsessed with certain characters and stuff like that. Who did you, besides The Rock, who did you gravitate towards current wise when you were watching wrestling?
That's a good question, actually. I know I was like, I got into it around 2014. So that's a good question. Jesus. I think I really got into like, I was a big like Jericho fan.
Jericho? Yeah. Jericho was all around 2014.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he was huge. But like I was, who else did I watch really a lot?
You watch Bryan a lot?
Oh yeah, Daniel Bryan. That's a great one as well. Yeah.
Yeah, I love Bryan.
I love Bryan, yeah.
And he's killing it in AEW, and
funny that you mentioned AEW, because like I have, unfortunately, because of where I live and like the very limited exposure to wrestling we have, like I have not seen a lot of AEW, unfortunately.
That's unfortunate.
It is very unfortunate. Yeah.
Out there. Now there's
I hear their stuff is really good, and like I feel like I'm completely missing out. You know,
like they have a presence on YouTube.
Yeah.
And it's like, because of where you live, it's like.
Yeah. Yeah. But like,
I international pay-per-view deal, so you can watch the pay-per-views, but yeah, pay for them.
And it sucks too, because like, I'm a huge fan of like guys like Christian and Samoa Joe and like fucking, who else? CM Punk, of course. And like, and they're competing all there, and I'm not able to see a lot of that kind of stuff.
Right. They have that fight deal where you pay like $5 a month. $5 or $10 a month.
Yeah.
Where you could see fight.tv, where you could see all the TV shows and stuff like that. I think.
Okay. I should actually look into that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's internet. I think it's like $5 or $10 a month. So
yeah,
it's actually pretty cheap. And then the pay-per-views are like $50. So,
okay.
I think that's the international option for a lot of international people.
I gotcha.
Because they don't have the TV deals out there yet.
Yeah,
but they're owned by Turner, which is also Discovery now.
Yeah.
So it's like, hopefully all the Discovery networks get wrestling. And
yeah, exactly.
So are you a regular watcher of WWE?
I don't really watch it like on a regular basis like I used to, but like I watch it from time to time.
It's gotten bad. I know.
I'm mostly watching stuff on like NXT and stuff like that nowadays. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I get it. I totally get it because I feel WWE's gotten bad, and I'm fortunate where I live.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I'm lucky. I can turn on Wednesday night, get a good wrestling show. And I'm actually going this Wednesday to Dynamite. Yeah.
I think the only times I actually watch like WWE, like outside of NXT nowadays, is like just when there's a big pay-per-view like WrestleMania or Royal Rumble, especially Royal Rumble. I watch that shit every single year, basically.
Right, right. How many t-shirts do you have?
I have like about 4 or 5. I don't have too many wrestling shirts, but I have a fair amount, I guess.
Yeah, you have a fair amount. That's cool. And I see your collection right there with your record.
Of course, yeah. Those are a few of my wrestling figures, yeah, right there.
Yeah, I love how you got set up for today, because you have the big record collection. Which we're going to get into because your record collection's awesome for a 20-year-old.
Absolutely, yeah. I think so.
For a 20-year-old.
Thank you so much.
You spend all your disposable income on records, probably, don't you?
Yeah, basically, yeah. Either that or t-shirts, basically.
Yeah, so how'd you get started with that?
With collecting records?
Yeah, collecting records.
I basically was just traveling to visiting a record store out of curiosity. And like, I basically told myself, and this was in like 2017, and this was even before I had a record player or anything. I basically just told myself, okay, you're not going to buy anything here unless you find a copy of what was my favorite album at the time, Screaming for Vengeance by Judas Priest.
Right.
I think you can figure out what happened from there.
Yeah, you found it.
Yeah, I found it and I just bought it immediately because it was one of my favorite albums of all time at the time.
It's funny because I was in a record store today. It was record store day.
Yeah.
Believe it or not. We're recording this on record store day in the United States.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and well, that's a thing in Iceland too, by the way, for the record.
Oh, yeah, it is a thing in Iceland? Oh, that's
yeah,
cute.
It is, yeah.
Oh, so record store day. I was like, I'm not going to buy a record unless it's Spirit Box or, or Turnstile.
Yeah.
Guess what was in the damn record store?
Yeah.
We got to release a video of this now because your background and Eternal Blue by Spirit Box.
Yeah, great album. Yeah.
Was in the record store.
Yeah.
And you have that record too, so.
Yeah, hold on. Actually, you mentioned Two of the Axe. Give me a second.
I will give you a second. I'll fill the
hold on. I forget. My collection isn't there anymore. I my locker. Hold on. Give me a sec.
Your collection's not there anymore. Your collection's over here.
Yeah. I moved it very recently. Give me a sec.
Yeah. I don't even have the storage to... I have like 10 records now, and I'm like...
All right, so not only do I have Spirit Box, as you mentioned, but I also have the other band you mentioned, Turnstile, on vinyl.
Oh, you lucky. They didn't have that. I was expecting them to have it.
Yeah.
Because they literally played, as we were going into the record store, the rock station on Philly was playing Mystery.
Oh, yeah, great song, yeah. I love that song.
And me and my dad was like, I was singing along to it, and my dad's like, why don't we blast that? And it's like, it's only a 2-minute song anyway, so I was like, oh yeah. But you've been into music since a long time.
And, yeah.
And like, I know you from all these servers and whatnot, and it's so much fun being in this music community too.
Yeah, definitely.
Diverging from the wrestling community.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes the wrestling community can be at their front. And sometimes the music community can be at their throats too.
Yeah, like that's mainly why I'm not too involved like publicly with wrestling, because like people can get kind of nuts there.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, exactly.
Personally, I've been doing podcasts for about 8 years now.
Yeah.
I haven't had like any like lame stuff or anything like that happen to me, but it's like the people, like some of the people that like do like the dirtiest of dirt sheet stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, just stay in your lane, man.
Yeah, exactly.
and some of these wrestling media members and now they're like either in the back for WWE or they don't want to. It's mostly they want access.
Yeah.
And it's not pretty. Not pretty a lot of the time, because AEW is doing a lot of good numbers and stuff like that. And they don't want to report that.
Yeah.
And it's like, But that's a rant for a different day.
Okay. Of course.
What's your favorite record in your record collection?
My favorite album of all time, which I will just get real quick down here because I can pretty easily find it. Yep, there it is.
There it is.
That would be my favorite album of all time, Operation Mindcrime by Queensryche.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That is a great album. Concept album from Queensryche.
Huh.
The concept album from Queensryche.
Of course, it's my favorite album of all time. I absolutely love every single track on this thing, and like just, I think it's produced phenomenally, and like I just love this album. Yeah.
Yeah, one of my favorite albums of all time. I actually do have, but it's upstairs. It's Spanish Brave Faces, everyone.
Yeah.
It's a recent favorite, but it's a favorite nonetheless.
I see.
I also have Frampton Comes Alive. It was Peter Frampton's birthday yesterday.
I am so jealous of that because I do not have that record yet, and it's kind of difficult to find here in Iceland.
Oh, really? It's difficult to find.
It's oddly difficult to find here, especially seeing as it's sold absolutely phenomenally in America. Yeah.
I got it for $8 at a record store.
Jesus.
There's a record store actually.
That is extremely cheap.
Blocked from me too.
Yeah.
That serves coffee and stuff like that too. It's so cool.
I see. That's really cool.
I love having record stores near me, and and it's so cool. Because
I basically just visit two record stores. One is like not far away, but like in the middle point of being far away and very short by. And one is very much close to me. I can get there in like about 8 minutes or so.
Do you drive?
No, I unfortunately do not drive. I just take
I don't
the bus.
Drive either. I take the bus and I walk.
Yeah.
And like I won walking distance from me, which sells all classic records, and then one at a mall, which sells new and classic records. So
yeah, I basically I'm pretty like solidly like a sealed collector for the most part.
Yeah, you're a sealed collector.
Yeah, but I do occasionally get like the used records on occasion. Yeah.
Yeah, I do both because I'm
I can get that. Yeah, I get that.
Because I'm like if something interesting comes with the I have like an Aerosmith record. I have Alive.
I have that album on. I got that album on sale. Yeah.
Yeah, it's,
and it came with a bunch of bonus shit, and it was a really cool pressing.
Oh, really? That's awesome. Yeah. It's so cool.
Yeah.
I just love all the different pressings they come with. I have this
Dio
record. I won this at a trivia Dio album, like a Holy Diver.
I love Holy Diver. I love that album. Yeah.
They did it live.
I'm aware of that pressing. Yeah.
Yeah, they did it live, and it's just a clear pressing.
Oh, nice.
And it's not. It's really nice. And I have Ghost in Power, even though I wasn't really a fan of that album. But it's Ghost, so I'm like.
Yeah.
It came with stickers too. I have stickers on my computer now.
Ah, cool. I actually have a bunch of stickers on my computer as well. Yeah, from some records that I have. Yeah.
So it's awesome. Do you have any Limp Bizkit records?
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact. I have exactly one that is right about here. And that would be their 1999 album, Significant Other.
I was going to guess you have Hot Dog Water.
I wish I had that one, but I don't think they've repressed that one in a while. So I unfortunately cannot find it at the moment.
They haven't repressed Hot Dog Flavored Water and Chocolate Starfish and Hot Dog Flavored Water yet. Damn.
Yeah, they have not repressed
so
it for some reason.
In that.
Yeah,
especially with the Limp Bizkit comeback.
Yeah, exactly. So I would also love for them to repress the debut $3 Bill Y'all as well.
$3 Bill Y'all. I actually saw them. I actually seen Limp Bizkit live.
Oh, okay.
Rock Allegiance 2016 when Shaggy 2 Dope.
Oh yeah, I remember that shit. You mentioned that a while ago. Yeah.
Dropkick to Fred Durst.
Yeah, and that was a. I remember like just hearing about that and going, "What the hell?"
I had press passes to that festival. I'm like, I'm sitting there. I'm sitting on the lawn, and I'm like, "What the hell is going on here?"
Yeah.
And that was the weakest Rock Allegiance lineup by far. They stopped doing the festival the next year. So
I see
that year. I mean, because the first year I went, they did it at the Philadelphia Union Stadium, the MLS team, and they had Avenged Sevenfold and Alice in Chains headline. And,
okay, that sounds really cool, actually.
2 days. And then the second year, it was just a one day, and they had Rob Zombie, 5 Finger. And then Avenged Sevenfold was supposed to headline that one, but M. Shadows got sick.
Ah, okay.
His vocal cords. Remember what happened to his vocal cords?
Yeah.
And then they couldn't find another headliner, so Limp Bizkit got the headline slot.
Okay, I see.
So it was not pretty. And I'm like, yeah. Bruh. Yeah. And then Papa Roach was the co-main.
I see.
I'm like, this is torture, y'all. And then I had a bad interview with Guar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we shall not name Guar.
Yeah.
Not. It was sort of their fault and our fault at the same time, because I already interviewed that Wade Singer over the phone. Yeah. And then it was like, the guy we interviewed wasn't the lead singer. And then he was sort of in the bad mood. So
okay, I gotcha.
It's sort of like, but I've interviewed some cool people, so it was
okay, cool.
Yeah, so I mean, you're going to a festival this summer.
Oh yeah, I am. I'm gonna be going to Belgium to attend a Grass Pop Metal meeting, and like the lineup is absolutely fucking insane, and I'm excited for it.
I saw that lineup when you posted it. I'm like,
I don't remember all of the acts, so I'll just read off a few of them real quick. Give me a sec. I'm just trying to find the picture I took of like the lineup real quick.
Yeah, Grass Pop Metal meeting.
Yeah, the first day is being headlined by Iron Maiden, Volbeat, the Dropkick Murphys, Powerwolf, Merciful Fate, and Mastodon, which is just already an insane day. Then you have the second day, which is headlined by The Scorpions, Within Temptation, Whitesnake, Megadeth, A Day to Remember, and Bullet for My Valentine. The lineup is, and like the third day, which is being headlined by Judas Priest, my favorite band of all time, which I'm so excited to see. Korn, Five Finger Death Punch, Saxon, Foreigner, Europe, Opeth, and Shinedown. Then there's the third day, which is being headlined by Sabaton, Deep Purple, Deftones, who I'm so goddamn excited to see. I'm so excited to see the Deftones. Alice Cooper, The Offspring, Ailstorm, Skillet, and Rival Sons. So yeah.
And Devin Townsend's gonna be there too.
Yeah, yeah. And there are also a lot of other really cool bands. I'm very excited, and they're not headlining on there, but are still playing the show.
Spirit
Mark
Box.
Tremonti is, I'm sorry.
Spirit Box
is playing there. Yeah, they're playing there. Yeah.
Dirty Honey on Sunday.
Dirty Honey is playing there. Suicidal Tendencies is playing there.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Can't wait to see their set, because they from what I've heard, they have a fantastic live show. Let's see, who else is playing there? Mark Tremonti is playing there. I'm excited to see that.
Yeah, I went to Welcome to Rock Rock last year. I'm like, and then they topped themselves this year with this lineup. I'm like, I chose this year to go to Welcome to Rock Rock.
Yeah. I was actually going to attend Welcome to Rockville initially, but because of the flight schedule, it didn't work out. So we changed to this thing.
Yeah, that's cool. But that's cool.
Which I was bummed at initially about not being able to go there, but after I learned I was able to go to this thing, I wasn't as upset.
Yeah, this thing looks a lot cooler.
Yeah, exactly.
Rockville, this year's lineup looks ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. I was very bummed. I remember specifically, I was kind of bummed about going to Welcome to Rockville, because I was initially going to attend Download because they had a lot of similar acts. But I was going to attend Welcome to Rockville instead. I was kind of bummed that I wasn't going to be able to see bands that I really wanted to see from Download, Deftones and Code Orange, who are also another one of my favorite bands currently going today. And
my friend Andrew actually saw Code Orange in their hometown of Pittsburgh in a really intimate show with Tala. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Sounds like a killer show.
And he hung out with everybody.
Oh, that's so cool. I'm so jealous.
Did a basement show in the basement of this record store in New Kensington, PA. Because
that sounds cool.
Code Orange is from Pittsburgh. He drove all the way up there. It was ridiculous.
That sounds absolutely phenomenal.
And he's so And he's my buddy, and I'm like, yeah. I saw Dream Theater. I go to all my shows with him. I'm not torturing him and seeing. I'm going to Biffy Clyro on Monday.
Oh, cool!
I can't wait.
Yeah,
they're playing the Union Transfer, which is a 1,500 capacity club.
Ah, that's really cool.
Which for them, it's that's intimate.
Yeah,
compared to like Download.
Yeah, their exactly. Headline
is Download.
Yeah.
This year.
Oh yeah, they are. Yeah, I actually attended the last festival I actually attended was Download in 2019. By the way.
Wow.
It was a really cool experience.
Like, what's attending Download like? How many stages are there?
There were three in particular. There were about four, I believe, that were in total.
That's a dream.
Yeah, it was a fantastic show.
Who's there that year?
I managed to see in a single day, Anthrax, The Smashing Pumpkins, Slayer, and Tool. So that was a really cool experience.
That's fantastic. Yeah. That's a fantastic day.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so I'll tell you like each of my days at Rockville, who I managed to see.
All right, cool.
So I saw Spirit Box,
awesome.
Dorothy, Grandson, yeah. Gojira, awesome. Cypress Hill, and Slipknot, and a day.
That sounds awesome. Yeah, that sounds really awesome.
And then Teenage Rest. I was in the vicinity of the Breast Against This incident, but did not see it.
Oh yeah, I remember that shit.
I was in the vicinity of it. I was like getting food. Like I heard her say like, "Get the fuck off the stage," because I saw the first part of the Gojira set.
Yeah.
Because I seen Gojira before I rocked Legion, so I was like, I'm not missing much. So I went to get food, and then I heard Sophia say, "Get the fuck off the stage."
Yeah,
I had no idea what was going on, and then I heard and all the Rockville groups.
Yeah,
all the memes were lit.
Oh my god, yeah, I remember that shit.
The second day, I managed to see 0936. Tala. Yeah.
Okay.
Tala was great.
Aaron
Jones, Ice Nine Kills, Starset, Beartooth, Chevelle, Rob Zombie, and Metallica.
Ah, that sounds really cool. I really hope I get the chance to catch Ice Nine Kills live at some point. Because I hear they have an absolute phenomenal.
They're a lot of fun.
I hear they put on an absolutely phenomenal show. So I really hope I get to see them live at sometime
and
in
then,
the future.
Saturday, I saw Dead Poets Society.
Yeah.
Not all good things. No, I saw them with POD. They were horrendous. Sick Puppies. Fever 333. Bad Flower. Okay. Lamb of God. Their pit was insane. I had to get out.
I need to see Lamb of God live sometime. Yeah.
I skipped Stained for reasons.
Okay. I get it.
The Offspring. I mean, I did not want to see them.
Yeah, like I get like about Stained. I like their music, and even I get it.
and then I was closest on the main stage from Mudvayne.
Yeah.
Sunday. Sunday really was a great day because I saw Fire from the Gods, who were horrible. I saw Jelly Roll. I saw Alien Weaponry. I saw The Warning. I saw Dance Gavin Dance, which was sad because their bassist died recently.
Yeah, rest in peace to Tim, yeah.
I saw a little bit of Falling in Reverse.
Yeah.
Anthrax, Mastodon, Mudvayne. Yeah. I skipped Skinner to save my spot for Metallica.
And yeah, that's fair.
But they were streaming the Skinner set on the other stage, so we could hear the Skinner set. Skinner was okay.
Okay.
But that night, Metallica did Black Album back to front.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was amazing. It was.
I could only imagine.
My friend Andrew went crowd surfing during like one of the songs, and I was like, bruh.
That sounds really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Me and my friend Andrew, who I was talking about earlier, who went to Code Orange.
Yeah.
We drove
I forgot to finish that story actually.
drove all the way down from
But I forgot to finish a story earlier about like how I was very bummed not to be able to see Code Orange and Deftones specifically.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Sorry, it's fine. Don't worry about it. But like, I was going to like, I was very bummed initially that I couldn't see them because I was going to Welcome to Rockville. Then I wasn't going there suddenly, and then I went to saw this other festival, and like, it just so happens both of them are performing on it.
Yeah.
So like thing, along with a bunch of acts from like Rockville that I really wanted to see live as well. And like, I just went, yeah, okay, this works fine.
It looks like Blue Ridge is going to be really good too.
Yeah.
Have you seen like, they're announcing acts every day for Blue Ridge and they haven't even announced headliners yet. And I'm like, I want to go to Virginia.
Yeah, it looks like I've seen a few of the announced acts and it looks pretty cool so far.
They're reuniting God Forbid.
Ah, yeah, that sounds really awesome, yeah.
So, they're doing a lot of reuniting. So, Live was reuniting, speaking of wrestling.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
One night only.
They're reunited with Josie?
Yeah, one night only at Blue Ridge.
Ah, I see. Nice.
So that's going to be incredible.
Yeah.
It's got at a better venue. Did you hear about the disaster last year at Blue Ridge?
I did, yeah.
So, yeah, unfortunately, it was a disaster with ADA and stuff like that. So, it was under new ownership and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
But, what, you like pop too, right?
I do, yeah. I like some pop, yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever been to a pop festival or anything like that?
I have not, oddly enough. I have not even been to, like, a hip-hop show either, which is really weird because I absolutely love a lot of hip-hop.
What's your favorite hip-hop record you have?
Don't even do that to me. Hold on, I need to figure out which one.
I only have one hip-hop record, and it's Run the Jewels 4.
Yeah, that one's fantastic. I have that one too, actually.
Yeah, I love Run the Jewels 4.
Yeah, I actually have I'm actually going to be seeing them live with Rage Against the Machine in July, I believe.
You lucky. My old TPS, his name's also Andrew. He's seeing them in MSG, and they don't even have a Camden date. They changed the Camden date to a fifth MSG date, and a fourth MSG date, and my friend Andrew got tickets.
And I see. Anyways, I actually have a deluxe edition of Run the Jewels 4, and like, it actually has, like, not only does it have the whole record, but it also has all the instrumentals as well on their own, which is awesome. And like, they're on magenta and gold vinyl, respectively.
I love Run the Jewels 4, but
yeah, I love that album too.
Yeah, it gives you more time to think about your favorite hip hop album.
Yeah, but anyways, one of my favorite hip hop albums of all. I'll just name three in particular that I absolutely love.
Yeah, give me three. I don't care.
Yeah, I'll give you all three from like Three from, I'm going to try a gimmick here and do three from three different decades.
Three from three different decades.
From the 90s, the 2000s, and from the 2010s specifically. Give me a sec. And the final one, where is it? There it is. So the first record in question that I'm going to mention is from, I dropped my headphone. Hold on. The first record I'm going to mention real quick is from my favorite hip hop group of all time, and it's Mystic Styles by 3-6 Mafia.
Ooh, what decade is that from?
That's from the 90s, specifically 1995. It is an
incredible. I didn't know they were in the 90s.
This is their debut album, actually.
Really?
And they actually didn't start out like as a crunk group or anything like that. They actually started out more as a horrorcore kind of deal, which is why the cover here is so grimy and so dark and whatnot.
I really like that. I gotta listen to that.
Yeah,
it's an album of the day.
The production is a bit rough on this one, but like it kind of, in my opinion, it like makes the because it's supposed to be very scary. It makes like it much more eerie and like stuff like that, and it adds to the effect of the album to me.
Right.
Yeah. But that's the first album. Highly recommend y'all listen to this if y'all want to check it out. The second one I'm going to show off is one that I got earlier this year, and like I just found it. I found it in like a box set, and like I just immediately knew I had to get this. It is the incredible Food and Liquor by Lupe Fiasco, which is one from 2006, which is not only one of my favorite hip hop albums of all time, but also just generally one of my favorite albums of all time. It's got some incredibly good songs, some great features on it. Like it's really good.
I love that. Which Lupe album had Superstar on it?
That was the one that followed the Food. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
This one has a Kick Push on it, by the way.
Kick Push.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kick Push is a banger.
Kick Push is a classic. And I actually like Kick Push 2 a lot better, though, which is also on this album.
Nice.
Actually, by the way, I may have called the album that followed this The Food. It's actually called The Cool. I meant to say that.
The Cool. You call it The Food.
They both have two O's, so I get very easily confused.
Yeah.
But the third one, and like this one, doesn't even really need an introduction. It's Good Kid, Mad City by Kendrick Lamar.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. I'm like, the King's coming back.
Yeah, I'm so excited for the new record.
K-Dot
is
coming back. We all know.
This is not only like one of my favorite hip hop albums of all time, but like this is just generally, this is one of my top 15 albums just in general of all time.
Wow.
This one might actually be my favorite because I love it so much. Every track is great. And like, Kendrick is just one of the greatest lyricists like to have ever just gone, like just entered the music business. So yeah.
You just get floored by what Kendrick does. And
yeah, exactly. He is just such a phenomenal lyricist.
What even when he dropped a verse like last year, it's like you stop and you're like,
yeah, exactly. I remember he had a feature on like a Pusha T song from about 2013, it was a different song actually. Hold on, what was it again? Nostalgia. Nostalgia. That was the song. And like, there's a video on Twitter that I remember seeing analyzing it in detail, and like, the amount of entendres he fit in there is absolutely insane.
That was the one I'm talking about, the Big Sean one, the Control one.
Oh, yeah, I'm familiar with it. Yeah, I'm familiar with that one. That's a great verse, too, yeah.
That's the one everybody talks about. It's like one of the greatest
entendres
of all time.
Yeah, that one was just, I remember that one just made massive waves when it happened, yeah.
Yeah, and then the Baby Keem verse came out, and I'm like,
yeah,
this is Baby Keem guy. And then we're like, oh, K-Dot's on it. We know what this means.
Yeah, exactly.
And how are we supposed to say his new name?
I'm sorry, what?
How are we supposed to say his new name? Oklahoma?
Oklahoma, I think. I'm not entirely sure.
Oklahoma?
I'm not entirely sure.
I'll wait for him to say it. Because
yeah, same. I don't want to fuck it up too badly either, so yeah.
Because my God, K-Dot.
Yeah.
Let's go. I'm excited.
Like Kendrick is like one of my favorite rappers of all time. He's like, if he's not in my top three, he's like at least in the top five for me.
Yeah. Yeah. So quick hitters.
Yeah.
Favorite prog metal album besides Operation Mindcrime.
That's very easy for me to answer. That would be, I have to put all my records in the place and then get a new one in just a second.
No worries.
Take a little bit. Give me a sec.
You know why I said besides Operation Mindcrime, because Operation Mindcrime is your favorite album of all time.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I get that. And finally.
Mine's either Metropolis Part 2 or Lateralis.
My second favorite is one of those, and I'm not gonna say which one.
You're not gonna say which
one. Not just yet. Yeah. But basically right now though. So my favorite prog metal album that isn't Operation Mindcrime would very easily be just a quick drum roll. Metropolis Part 2 by Dream Theater.
Yes.
Yeah. And I actually have a vinyl of Lateralis as well, and that's a phenomenal pick. I really love that album. That's also in my top 10 albums of all time.
Oh my God. Have you ever heard the Live in New York?
I have not, actually.
It's on streaming services, But
yeah,
I have the CD of that, and it's so amazing.
Yeah, but like, this is my third favorite album of all time. If you're wondering, my second favorite album of all time is Dirt by Alice in Chains. So yeah.
Oh, Dirt is, and you've got to have a vinyl of that.
Yeah, I have Dirt on vinyl right here. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have three Alice in Chains projects. Their debut, Facelift, Dirt, which I already mentioned, and their Unplugged album from 1996.
Those are great albums.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to have any three Alice in Chains albums. Those are three to have.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also,
I really want to get a Jar of Flies at some point too as well.
Oh, Jar of Flies is so great.
Jar of Flies is phenomenal, yeah.
You can't go wrong with any classic hour Alice in Chains.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Classic, like, Alice in Chains.
At family parties, I'll tell you something. At family parties, like when we all get drunk, we sing Alice in Chains.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Because we sing Alice in Chains, Pearl Jam, Soundgarden. That's what we do when we get drunk.
Yeah.
My uncle said, "Yeah, here comes a rooster." Oh, yeah. It is so
phenomenal. Yeah. Yeah. I can see that. I can definitely, yeah.
But it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I can definitely tell. I think I've only actually done karaoke only once so far, and it was earlier this year.
I did karaoke recently for the first time in like 10 years.
Yeah.
I did Wheels by the Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
And what?
If you go through my Twitter feed on April 12th, like I posted a video of me performing the second verse of The Bad Touch by the Bloodhound Gang, and it's fucking glorious.
They're from my area.
Oh, nice.
They're from King of Prussia. And I live in a town called Norristown. I was actually at the King of Prussia Mall. So,
like, The Bad Touch was actually a top five hit, or a top 10 hit in Iceland, by the way.
It was a top 10 hit.
Yeah, it peaked at, I think, number five or three, but I'm not entirely sure. Hold on. Let me look it up. The Bad Touch. Let me check real quick. Yeah, it peaked at number four. That was it.
Peaked at number four.
The Bad Touch.
It was recorded.
And I,
It was recorded in somewhere in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
It was recorded somewhere in Pennsylvania. I know that for a fact.
The band themselves are from Collegeville, Pennsylvania. So
Collegeville, yeah. Yep. And I was in Collegeville the other day.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
It's right by me.
Ah, I see.
I live in a town called West Norden.
Yeah.
And Eagleville.
Yeah.
So if you look on a map, Collegeville is like right above West Norden.
Ah, I see.
Collegeville is actually where Ursinus University is.
I see.
So, yep.
Yeah.
The more you know.
Yeah.
What else do you have to say to the viewer at hand or the listener?
I don't know. Follow me on Twitter. I'm at ArtNarock1. I also, my Twitter handle is ArtNarock1, and like the nickname that I'm using right now is the Armadillo Tank from ELP's Tarkus. Hold on, which I actually have that album right here. Give me a second. It's this thing.
LP?
ELP, which is Emerson, Lake, and Palmer.
Oh, ELP, not LP, the Run the Jewels guy.
No, it's not LP the rapper. It's ELP, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, the famous prog band from the 1970s.
Right. Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Greg Lake from King Crimson.
Yeah, of course. And then you have Keith Emerson, and you have Carl Palmer as well.
Yes. Follow me all on Twitter.
All of whom? Huh?
Follow me on Twitter at DJ D. Kooks.
Yeah, follow him. Yeah, absolutely. Follow him.
But what were you going to say?
But I don't know. Follow me on Twitter, and like I had a great time on here. Yeah, I don't really have a lot
I'm
to so, say.
I'm sorry, things. This was a little awkward, but
I'm not. I can't end videos or anything like that.
But
I had a great time. Thank you for having me on here.
Thank you so much for watching and listening to this Meet the Press Slam. And thank you so much for listening to the Social Suplex Podcast Network. It is an honor for us to be on here. And it's an honor
absolutely, yeah,
for everybody to hear him.